Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
That's Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, build up. It says, build up, prepare the road, remove obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and lofty one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. Remove the obstacles from my people. And I'm going to just 58 years of life, I'm here to tell you, in my own experience, see, I don't do this. I do this. Because in my 58 years of life, I have gotten in my way more times. You know what I love about Paul? Paul even addresses this. Paul, Isaiah 57, it's there. Verse 14, I promise you. Unless I have got a hold of somebody else's Bible and we wrote new verses or something. It's there somewhere. Isaiah 57, 14. But listen, just write that down and listen to this. There's been more times I was more in the way of myself than anybody else. I didn't have to look past my own bad self to realize it was my lack of faith or my lack of trusting who God is. Really, most of the crises in my life, most of the urgent feelings in my life have been caused by my own lack of trusting God. You know, Paul addressed it, and I love Paul's transparency. Eric, I love Paul's transparency, dude. This is what Paul says. Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Get this, modern day translation. Lord, I trust you. I mean, I really trust you. I purpose to trust you. But today I'm really struggling with why you let this happen. Or why did I make those decisions? Can I tell you why I made those decisions? Here's the truth, if I'm looking in the mirror, being honest with myself, because I wanted to, more than I wanted not to. Now, it's just a priority thing. I wanted to make wrong decisions that put myself into the wrong position, and when I did, it's because I wanted to, more than I didn't want to. Now, boy, that's honest, and that's transparent. I love when a person's willing to do, yep, it's me. I have seen the problem, and he looks like me, and he sounds like me. So today, in Jesus' name, before we even get launched into this message, which it's a one-point message, I don't have 10 points for you this morning, so it'll be real easy to take notes. But before we get into this message, if you are in your own way, or if you're finding there are obstacles in your way to your faith walk in Jesus Christ, today this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it, because this is the day He created for me to overcome my old bad self and any obstacles that the enemy has placed in front of me. And oftentimes the enemy has chosen to put things in front of me, here's the truth, that I let him know were my weaknesses. Seriously, he doesn't know everything about you. He only knows what you let him know. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-knowing. He's not God. He only knows what we tip him off to. Girls, if there's a handsome man going by and you're walking with a group of girls down the hall, and you see, I always pick on the guys, don't I? Thought I was going to pick on the guys on this one. And that good-looking guy, and you girls go, hey. Did you see that man? Oh my goodness. And the conversation you have, guess who's listening? Yeah, he's listening. Okay. And you go a little too far in the conversation because you and I want to. You know something? 20 years behind the chair. I've told you this. I have confessed this to you. You know I'm as stinking real as I can be in the 20 years of... This is now 20 years at this church. I've now pastored at this church as long as I cut hair behind the chair for years. And yeah, that's the hair thing. If you're new and you're wondering what's the deal with the hair, that's the hair thing. Has nothing to do with I'm the preacher, quote unquote. 20 years behind the chair. Do you know how many conversations I wish I had never participated in? You know how many jokes I wish I hadn't told? And you know before, how many know, remember the story? Before we started, as we were starting St. Charles River Church, the Lord spoke this to me. There are three people I want you to go to. And I want you to repent in front of those individuals. And I want you to ask them to forgive you. Three individuals. All three were stylists in our salon. I'm just being real. Because see, I had to stand up here and I know I have to proclaim God's word. And if any of those three ever walked in to this room, not just this room, whatever room I was teaching in. You know, it's always a relief to me when I go to Latin America and preach down there because nobody knew my past. Do you know my past gets in my way? Does your past get in your way? It's my old bad self. It's all those wrong decisions I made. But you see, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. When the enemy starts lying, you know somebody's... It happened one time. Years ago, a girl I went to barber school with, I was at First Assembly of God. I was speaking on a Sunday night, and a girl came in on the first row with her husband, sat down on the first row. Now, I never dated this girl. She just knew that in barber school, I had a mouth that was not appropriate. I told things I said things I shouldn't have said. That's just the truth. How's that? You don't have a perfect pastor. It's just stinking real. So anyway, she sits down with her husband, and I opened my Bible and went... I realized who it was. At the end of service, I'm thinking, Lord Jesus, I've never sweat so hard during a message in all my life. Lord Jesus, she's going to think I'm a hypocrite. She's going to think, Lord Jesus. Because you know something? I'm not. Paul said this. Paul said, listen to this. Paul said, I'm not a murderer. But he murdered Christians. Paul said, I'm not a murderer of men. Because you see, I'm not the same man I was then. And that's why I love Paul's transparency and all of this junk. I love God's transparency with David, King David, and all the junk that he had and that was revealed about his life. Because you see, at the end of David's life, it was declared that David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, it is the message. Get that. Get that picture. This is the one. This all of this revelation. God, how'd you like to have your life revealed out the way David and Paul's life was revealed? I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't like it at all. Lowell years ago was in that salon that I was at, and I'm going to tell you something. It's one of the greatest honors to have Lowell Grissom sitting in this room with me today. That he would even attend a church that I pastor. You know, he witnessed a lot of those conversations that I was a part of. And I want to tell you something. That is a man of grace. Lowell and Bobette Grissom are people of grace in the name of Jesus. That you would even come to this church. I am deeply, sincerely, deeply humbled. It means the world to me, Lowell. Give Lowell a hand. I love this guy. He's a great brother, great friend. But I love the fact that God is revealing in His Word about the things we used to have. So I went to all three of those individuals. I actually found, I'm like, Lord, how will I find them? I got no clue. That wasn't Facebook back then. I have no clue how to find people. And so I did, I found the one stylist years ago. You know him, Lowell, is Rich Steen. I drove all the way out to Troy and I met with Rich, and Rich and I just cried and hugged each other. He said, Barry, I love you. You don't owe me an apology. Barry, no, I love you. You aren't going to say that to me. You are not going to do that. No, I love you. There's nothing to forgive. But I met with him. And then I'm going down Sam's wholesale aisle one time, and just a few weeks later, actually, and I see one of the other people that I had to apologize to, and I went, "Oh Lord Jesus, in the middle of Sam's, you're going to make me do this? Could you show me a better day, you know, or a better location where it could be more private?" And I thought, wait a minute. This is the truth. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm just not him. Paul killed Christians. He said, "I'm not that man anymore. Therefore, I no longer carry the guilt of that, because I met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he set me free from the old bad self I used to be." So if you're living fearing who you're going to run into because of your past, I did it. And it's a beautifully freeing thing when you can look right at them and say, "Junie, I am so sorry. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the same guy I used to be. I actually really gave my life to Jesus Christ." Now, it took 42 times for it to finally stick. How many of you know you keep coming back to Jesus? Every time you blow it, you don't run from him. You run to the master. He is the master of erasing your past. He's the master of new beginnings. You don't run away from him. You run to him and you jump with all four and you hold on to him and you go for the ride with Jesus. Get the picture. It's a freeing thing because he loves you and he wants to set you free and he has set you free, and the enemy keeps walking up acting like you're in a prison. So you can say, no, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it, because the Lord has removed the obstacles out of my way. Unless you're going backwards, there's nothing in front of you that's an obstacle. Why are we facing backwards anyway? Why are we always turning and facing backwards? We're supposed to be a people of God who move forward into eternity. And by the way, drag as many people as we can with us, kicking and screaming if we have to, but love them enough to refuse to go to heaven without them. Just refuse. Bill Hybels, I love his statement. "I just refuse to go to heaven without you. You may kick, you may scream." You know, it was a joy for me not long ago. Kason walked up to me, my grandson. I know I always talk about my grandson. Don't we do that? My grandson walks up here. The pulpit was up here one Sunday. The last time he was there, they were supposed to be here today. Gina's at home because Sienna was sick. Nobody slept last night. Do you see the red in my eyes? So anyway, Kason came up to me. I have pictures of him. He walked up to the pulpit, and he just loves Beth and Jean out of this world. And so I don't know if she gave him a microphone or something, but anyway, he's standing here behind the pulpit. Of course, he's down here. Pulpit's up here. And when he comes home on Sunday afternoon, he says, "Grandpa, I want to preach with you." And I said, "Buddy, I will preach with you any day. Any Sunday you want to preach. In fact, if your kids ever say, 'Daddy or Mom, I want to preach with Pastor Barry,' you just bring them to me. And they'll be holding my hand and we'll be preaching the gospel together, because Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world." Really, red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, even the mean ones. Even the ones you want to flick every once in a while in the back of the head. It's okay. Jesus will help you with that too. That's what Paul said. It's okay. Jesus will help you with that too. It's a freeing thing. We face backwards. We face backwards. And there's things in front of us. The irony is, this is what the enemy doesn't want you to see. If you will actually turn your eyes, as the word says, upon Jesus, there's nothing between you and the cross of Jesus Christ. There's nothing between the two of you. Now, here's the truth. Here's the truth. This day and age, this is the one point I want to send home with you today. This day and age, there is such a just a variety of, in the minds of man, what truth is. It's just movable. Truth has become movable. Have you noticed that? Just in my lifetime, it is shocking how truth has become movable. One man's truth is another man's lie. It's another man's fantasy. The one man's truth is, can I just give you an example? Years ago, Mary Ellen, you will enjoy this. Years ago, when Megan was in middle school at Sager Middle School at Francis Howell, Megan came home with a math assignment. See, back then, things even begin to become foggy. Was that your teacher, the math teacher? It was Megan, wasn't it? It was Megan. It was what? Was it Hollenbeck? That's why I said Hollenbeck. See, when you got witnesses in the room, that's my daughter back there. That's my baby back there. When you got witnesses in the room, you better get the facts straight. So anyway, the teacher sent home all this math information that we want your children to learn to journal about math. You know where I'm going? I'm like, what do you do? Journal about math? We want to know how they're feeling about their math equations. And at times, mom and dads, don't panic, because we realize now that 2 and 2 does not always equal 4. But as long as they feel good about how they got their answer, how they arrived to their answer, we will give them credit on the test, as long as they can journal in the test why they felt good about that answer. And I'm like, so I'm married to a CPA. Anybody know that? So I'm married to a math girl, a numbers girl, and so is Kristen. She is an accountant. Dan, you're an accountant too. No, you're not. You never want to be an accountant? Well, the man's lie. Yeah. Thanks, Sherry. I love you too. So that's Sherry. If you don't know who that is, that's all I'm going to say. I am kept accountable in my stories, just so you know. But we go to, now this you can take to Gina and ask her how true it is. So Gina says, I'm going to call and schedule a meeting with the math teacher. I said, can I go? I want to watch this. I just want to watch this. And she said, yeah, but you can't say anything because you don't like numbers. I said, I hate numbers. That's an understatement. I hate numbers. Numbers don't like me. I don't like numbers. Math was never my strong point. But I do know this. Jesus plus nothing equals my salvation. That math I get. It's simple math. So I go to this school with Gina. We meet with the math teacher. And I'm sitting they're sitting at the desk. You know, and Gina's sitting at a chair next to the desk, and they're going over this new thing where we feel good and journal about our math and how we get our answers, even if they're not what is traditionally known. We want your students to know that they'll get credit as long as they can explain how they got to that answer and they feel good about that answer. And Gina just sat and she listened, and this is just how it went. Well, may I ask you this question? When the IRS calls you and says that your taxes that you paid don't match the income, as long as you feel good about what you've said on your tax forms, it'll be fine. We'll make sure it's okay because you feel good. This is Gina. And I'm going, and she says, and when my boss at St. Luke's Hospital needs the year-end statements or the month-end closings, and they are off. What should have been doesn't match what is. And looks at me and says, go back and find the answer to the penny. You want me to tell him, but I feel good. I can journal about... And that lady, honest to God, that lady was red. She was as red as Deborah's sweater right there. She's red. She was getting redder. She said, well, you don't understand. We know that 2 and 2 is 4, but we've got a lot of students who don't get math, and we want to bring them in and help them not to quit. She said, that's not the way to do it. Tutors. Special needs. Parents partnering with you. That's a way to, let's do this together. But telling a child 2 and 2 is not always 4 is a very confusing thing. And by the way, that means someday Jesus plus a lot of garbage could equal my salvation because I feel good about it. Makes me feel better. It makes me feel better. I do a lot of work, you know, for the church. That makes me feel better. So Jesus plus a lot of, a little less of Jesus, but a whole lot more work because I feel good. Y'all understanding what I'm saying here?
Oh, yeah.
This is a truth factor. Jesus said, let me set the scene here real quick and turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. Well-known scripture. A lot of people know it, but a lot of people don't know what the setting is. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And by this time, Jesus is really getting in towards the end of his ministry. It's not totally at the end, but it's coming closer. He says this to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so," now listen to this, "If it weren't the truth," that's what he's saying there. "If it were not the truth, I would have told you." In other words, I'm going to tell you the truth. And if I've told it to you, it is the truth. And if I tell you anything different on any other subject, if I tell it to you, it's the truth. Because I'm only going to tell you the truth. We find out why in just a second. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that also that where I am, there you may be also." He said, "You know the way and the place where I am going." Now, I love Thomas. Thomas is about to speak up. Thomas is the one that doubted Jesus after he was resurrected. Thomas speaks up. He said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Why? Because you have seen me. That's truth. Now, here's the truth. Small t. Jesus is the truth, capital T. All other truths, 2 plus 2 is a truth. It always equals 4. Why? Because everything that is truth is based on truth. You understand that? He sets the supremacy of truth. He is the truth factor. All things that are truth under him, small t, are that way because he establishes truth never changes. I just saw a shirt not long ago and I love it. We all have our north, our true north. I saw a hat in here a little while ago too. Who had the true north? There was a true north hat on just a little while ago. I saw it. There is a true. Do you know if you pull a compass out, unless you have stomped on that compass and you have broken that compass, by the way, that's what happens with us. We stomp on our life compass or we pull ourselves away from our life compass. Who is that? Jesus. We step away or we stomp on it and then it points. See, true north on a broken compass, you'll never trust that compass. What it takes is getting a new compass. It takes replacing the old compass. Well, the Bible says the old man has passed away and a new man has come into his place. And you see, there's a new relationship with a new magnet, a new due north. And that due north never, never changes. Never, never changes. So anything that's ever said to you that's true, it's true, small t, and I hope you can get that. Because, I mean, I can barely get it. If you can get it better than me, I'd love for you to do that. But everything that is truth based on the fact that he is truth. He is the establishment of the essence of what truth is, capital T. He is the essence, the beginning and the end, the alpha and omega of truth, capital T. And all other truths, small t, are true because he is truth. There are things he's established as truth that will never change. Because he said, "I am the way. I am the truth. and I am the life, and no man comes before the Father except by me. If you're using any other compass, your compass is going to be broke.
That's right.
It'll never lead you due north to the Father. Get that picture. If you're using any other compass other than Jesus, it will, your due north will always be off. That is true.
Amen.
That is true. He goes on to say, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes before the Father except through me. If you really knew me, now listen, that's the question. Do you and I really know the Master? Now, Rex spoke about this last week. Do we really know the Creator, the Potter? Remember the Potter's hands last week? The whole shaping and molding. The Potter, remember the whole story of the Potter's in charge. He is the one who fixes the speed of the wheel. He's the one, by the way, and remember, the faster the wheel goes, the more impurities come out of the clay. And remember the fact that you are chosen. Remember that? He spoke that into us last week. We are chosen. God's word says, you didn't choose me, I choose you. Which is an amazing thing. And if we ever really learn the Master, it is one of the greatest honors to actually say to him, and I sang, or at least used the words last week, I surrender all. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, and in his presence I will daily live. Because he is truth. I was on a plane one time, and I'll wrap it up with this. I was on a plane one time with a young man. I was in Panama. I had been down there, and I had met with Bob. Most of you know Bob and Mary. We were doing a pre-trip, and I was in the airport, the Panama, Republic of Panama airport by myself, and there was a young man. I mean, just how many know there's unique millennial thinking? You know, seriously. I don't judge people by their politics. I never do. I don't even get into politics. Jesus, I have my kingdom, Jesus said, is not of this world. I don't even, listen to this. I have a king. I don't worry about my president. And my king knows my name. He established the kingdom and he's putting royal robe on me. He's putting king, I'm talking about family rings on me because I am his own. I don't worry about my president. He'll never call me. He'll never know my name. But the IRS will come calling. But I got a king who sits on the throne, and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the message I preach. So I don't worry about people's politics. But this millennial young man's got this whole thinking going on in this airport. And I was standing there. I bought him a cup of coffee, and we were standing there in line waiting forever, it seemed like, to board the plane. And if my memory serves me right, it went like this. We stood there for about 45 minutes waiting in line, and we're talking about coffee. He said, so what are you doing here? How many of you know I never tell anybody I'm a pastor?
That's right.
So I never do that because it'll kill a conversation quick. Or they get real religious on me. They try and talk religious ease. Oh, my goodness. Oh, pastor, bless you. Wait a minute. You just... Last week you was telling me about something very different. How come the conversation got holy all of a sudden? So I don't do that. Gina doesn't do that either. So he said, what do you do? I said, well, actually, we bring medical teams down and do construction teams and things like that. We partner with an organization called Convoy of Hope. That's as close as they're going to get. And so we talk about that, and he said, well, why do you do that? I mean, for religious reasons? I said, well, it's really not religion. It's really not. It's because we love people. We actually love people. And so we find, you know, loving people is a whole lot easier than hating people. It's just a whole lot less energy. And it's a very, very rewarding thing to actually make connections to people and love people. Because you know what I've learned? Most of the time, if I love someone, it's not long before, if I let them know and I live like I love them, before long, they're going to love me back. What? Give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's not just your money. That's love. That's love. Keep loving somebody that's mean. Watch what they do. They get confused. They get confused. They don't know what to do with somebody that loves them when they're mean. I've had a lot of mean people in my life. God has gifted me. My former pastor, Sherry remembers this, my former pastor dubbed me the pastor of angry people. And it prophetically came true. You remember that, don't you? It prophetically came true. All the angry people were coming to me. And I got the chance to love on them. Here's the truth. Angry people just dare you to love them. I'll show you why you'll never love me. I'll show you. I am unlovable. No, you are lovable. You're a stinkhead sometimes, but you are absolutely lovable. In Jesus' name, you're a stinkhead. But see, I can't call them what I want to call them because that's my flesh. You know, that's resorting back to the old Barry. Yeah. But you're stinkhead today. Now, some people say you shouldn't call them any names whatsoever. I'm saying that affectionately because you're here. But the truth is, when you love people, mean people just dare you to love them. Go ahead. Yes. They just put a great big invitation out to you. Love them. Just love them. So this young man, the conversation went on and he said, well, I'm an atheist. I said, that's awesome. Because, no, I'm serious. I felt that way because it's like, well, at least he let me know where he's at. I know right where he's at. I don't have to wonder where he's at. I said, well, that's awesome. How did you come to that amount of faith? And I did. I actually asked him, how did you come to that amount of faith? To believe, because that's faith. To believe there's no God. There's still faith there. How did you come to that amount of faith? Because I have a feeling if you had that much faith towards God that I serve, it would be an amazing relationship with you two. Because you got faith. Don't tell me you don't have faith. You have amazing faith. And I went into the whole story of, he said, no, I don't have faith. I said, no, dude, you're about to get on an airplane, right? Yeah. You know where I'm going? I said, do you know Boeing built that aircraft? You got to believe in every one of these Boeing. Dougie is a Boeing guy. And he builds aircrafts. I said, you got to believe in every one of those. You got to have faith in these guys. And look at this guy. This is who's flying you across the friendly skies of the world. And I mean, the best. I'm not joking. What can you say what plane you're building these days? F-15s. Oh my God. I mean, that's pretty impressive to me. But if you got to have faith in that guy, and then don't you have faith in those two in the cockpit? Because boy, if you don't have faith in those two in the cockpit, don't get on the plane. That's all I'm saying. And do you have faith in... Who makes your tires? Is it Firestone or Goodyear? Okay. You better believe in Goodyear because that thing that weighs 1 billion pounds is coming out of the sky and it's going to land on some flat concrete. You better pray to God that those wheels don't pop. You got to have faith in a lot of people. And by the way, what about those control tower workers that are talking to each other up there telling jokes? You better have a lot of faith in them that they're working hard to make sure no planes intercept each other the hard way. So you got faith. I said that to him and he was laughing. So anyway, he was just really looking forward to getting on the plane and getting rid of me. I could see it in his eyes that he really was. And I said, by the way, where are you sitting? How many know? And this is, you can't make this stuff up unless you're going to lie. No, seriously, if you want to lie about it, you can lie about it. But this is the God's honest truth. I said, where are you sitting? He said, I'm in, like, he said something like 14, what's the one against the window? A most of the time, right? It's A, B, C. He's in C. I was in A, same row. And there was a lady in between us, and I said, oh, I'm only one seat away from you, dude. Oh, 3.5 hours to Atlanta. God, it just made him sick. And so, but there was a lady in between us, a little Latina. That plane started to take off. And I hear her, both of us hear her going, ooh. She started doing that and she reached over and put her claws into my left leg and his right leg. And she is scared. And I said, sweetie, are you afraid? She didn't speak English. Are you afraid? Ooh. I said, let me pray with you in Jesus, Jesus. Jesucristo Cristo. I don't know that much Spanish, but I knew that. Jesucristo Cristo. And she goes, Amen. And so I said, hold on to her hand. We'll pray together. And he's holding on to her hand. He's got his head bowed, you know. And I'm like, this guy is so miserable. Now, he didn't. I'd love to tell you he gave his life to Christ. He didn't, that I know of. But I said, give me your phone number, man. I just want to check with you. And I still got his number. I still shoot him a text every once in a while. Just thinking about you, praying for you, hoping you're doing well, man. And he'll send back, man, that was a fun flight. That lady was crazy. You know what? I just put a seed in there. Somebody on the other end or wherever he went gets to water it, gets to fertilize it, gets to work on it. You see, Jesus is easy. Love it. I don't have to straighten him out. I didn't have to tell a atheist that he's going to hell, dying, going to hell. I didn't have to do that. I just want to give him Jesus first. He doesn't even believe there's a hell yet. He just needs to believe in Jesus first. Seriously, his biggest problem isn't that he doesn't believe in hell. His biggest problem is he doesn't really believe in Jesus. Now, when you fix that issue, then you can go on into some more constructive and less elementary teachings of who Jesus is. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of the truth of who you are. You've set us free to truth. You've set us free to live in truth and to remove the obstacles from us that are untruth. Because the obstacles in front of us, the things, even if it's ourselves, those things are lies that tell us we cannot succeed in you when we've already have victory in you. The victory has already been bought, paid for, celebrated in heaven, and we just have to live that out in the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.